Hello, 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 you amazing, wonderfully beautiful soul, and welcome to the Too Busy Being Worthy podcast, where we talk about conscious living and mindfulness while sharing our active journeys in creating a safe emotional home within, and doing so living in our most authentic expressions. Now, if you happen to be listening to this audio or watching this lovely, high-quality video, I just want to stop and give you a moment and give you your flowers. Yes, congratulations. You are loved, worthy, and valuable simply just for being. So all that bullshit you've been stressing over that's had you worried and your panties all up in a bunch, we are releasing it and leaving it at the door because there is no room to bring that into this energy field where we are too busy being worthy. Has your crush not texted you back yet? Did the barista at your local coffee shop bring your order up wrong? Did you want to run some errands this morning and decide to hit up the store, only to roll into the parking lot and see this treacherous, adulterous, unholy sight? An empty parking lot. And that's because Google's operating hours and the real hours for the store were two different sets of time. Whatever the case may be, we ain't tripping over none of that because we are too busy being worthy. I'm Garrett.
And I am Anna.
And we are here.
Welcome.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited.
I am so freaking happy. How are you?
I am lovely. I mean, I'm just so excited to be here. This feels crazy that we are starting this and officially doing our very first episode of many to come.
Right. Many to come. So freaking exciting. Now,
cannot wait.
I know y'all are probably sitting here wondering, who are these two young
amazing,
otherworldly,
beautiful,
gorgeous, magnetic people right now that we are choosing to spend our also valuable time listening to? Short answer, people who have had many life experiences that have shaped them and forced them to grow emotionally, as well as just figuring out how to navigate this crazy thing called life, because it definitely is a tricky thing to navigate and not something that is easy to deal with, especially once we have our own ideals and sense of self and how we perceive ourselves going out into the world and experiencing other people and just the society that we live in and how we like to integrate ourselves into that. And I wanted to create this podcast mainly because I wanted to reach other young adults who are our age, 20-somethings, who are just trying
to figure
this
out.
Exactly.
You're 20-something. Just trying to figure out life.
Exactly. Because I feel like most people who specifically are just out of college and trying to figure their life out are very lost and might not know what way to turn or what steps to take to figure out what's going on in their lives and what they even want from themselves. And it could be a time of existential dread and not knowing what you want to do and just having to deal with all of society's expectations as well as your expectations of yourself and where you should be in life. And I feel like there definitely is rhetoric out there about navigating your 20s. However, I wanted to provide the perspective of two people who are in their 20s,
doing
who are navigating this stuff.
Actively going through the trenches with you guys.
Exactly. But also who are doing it with optimism and hope and not being very morbid and feeling like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. Because, yes, I definitely am still figuring my stuff out. And I know,
as we all are.
But despite all of that, I am doing it with a smile on my face and with grace and with the joy. And I'm here to share my experience for both of us to share our experiences so that way we can show you all that it is possible to navigate this thing and figure things out and not take yourself so seriously, because you might be in it for the long haul, whatever journey you're on, but you have a lot of life left to live. So you might as well just do it with
joy. So we're just here to be your new best friends in this journey. So people, hopefully that you feel like you can relate to, that go through silly, dumb, fun, amazing things, everything under the sun. And we want to be able to share that with you guys and like take home like what our takeaways are and what our like learns and just like kind of share our like purpose. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we feel like we both, like, I'm so thankful Garrett came to me with this idea, because I will say this is not something I probably would have ever taken the jump or leap on doing on my own or been excited about doing.
Yeah, and but it's now, good when you have that community, like somebody who can hold your hand and guide you through it,
it's
for
like,
sure.
I think we're so awesome because we have very similar mindsets, but I also think it's cool because we also came from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So I do think that is a cool perspective where we'll come from two different places and we might agree on certain things or we might even disagree, but that's okay. It's all about like the mutual respect, because we're not all going to have the same opinions. That's
exactly
not what we're here to do. And so we just like want to kind of be advocates or people that like can understand what you're going through, because we're all going through very similar things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're just trying to figure it out, whether there's ups and downs, but like get to like, you know, really focus on like the good things and not dwell on like the negative things.
Exactly.
Like Garrett kind of already got to mention, right? We want to like focus on like the positive mindset, like give space for the things that are crappy. That's reality.
We
can't avoid the crappy, annoying things that inevitably happen, because life is challenging, but like there's so much more good in life than there is the negatives. Like, we get to choose that mindset and what we focus on, and we hope to be like that positive mindset for you guys, where if you are having that bad day, like hopefully you can turn this podcast on and be like, ah, my friends, like,
right,
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Y'all.
Like, they get it. Like, if something funny or dumb happens, like, we want to be able to share that with you guys. But like, then if something crappy happens, we want to be able to have that like spin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, be able to like frame that mindset differently, look at it as like an opportunity. You know what I mean? So that's what we're here to do. So we're so excited.
And one thing that you touched on that I found really beautiful is the fact that we do come from different backgrounds and have developed the same mindset. And I also find it to be extremely valuable that it's two people here who have had different upbringings, who have had different perceptions on life and take information in differently. But despite us being our own individuals and having two different brains, we've come on this long journey and have been able to come to this point of convergence where we are just so on the same plane. And
100%.
I am excited for you to share more about your life experiences, as well as me sharing about mine and seeing how we both came to this point of mutuality. And the beautiful thing about humanity is something you kind of touched on, is that we all want the same things in life, even though we all have different societies that we grow up in, and different cultures
that
influence
that
us
there.
And will impart knowledge on us that can make us go about doing things in different manners. So we all have different strategies and ways to approach life. But even though they're all different and we might have different definitions of love, joy, peace, or vindication, satisfaction, whatever you're looking for in life, although we all do it differently, we're all looking to have the same thing. And I feel like once you can step back and just have a zoomed out view of everything and be able to see that, it can also allow you to have a lot more grace and empathy for other people and their experiences. And it can just allow you to come together and have those, share those commonalities and really just be open to one another.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, you just really said it all. I love it. I mean, that's perfectly exactly like what we want to be for each other. You know what I mean? What we want to be for you guys. Because, I mean, I feel like we can all have these experiences in life that are kind of crazy, or that serendipity. Like, the fact that we even know each other and that we're sitting here, like, coming from, like, two different states. You know, we both moved to North Carolina, like, around the same time. Like,
we just wanted to be in good old North Carolina.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Neither of us are from here. Like, just how we met, the fact that we've, you know, come this far and we're able to do this is really just so cool to think about. You know what I mean? And I think this is just like an awesome opportunity where we get to focus on our health, you know, not only like physically, right, but even just like that mental, emotional side, because our mental, emotional health impacts our physical health, right?
Yes.
They're one and the same. We really cannot have one without the other. You know what I mean? Because if we're down in the dumps, right? Like, mentally, like, we're not going to have the drive, the motivation to like live the quality of life that we want, whatever that looks like, because for everyone, it's totally different. But vice versa, like, if we're not physically healthy, we also, like, our mood and energy outside of that isn't going to be what we want it to either. You know what I mean? It's like, I think we're both people that have seen all different sides of it, where I've obviously gone through phases of my life where I am super healthy, other phases where I'm like,
oh, that's kind of dicey.
I might have been a little toxic.
The new season of Stranger Things just came out. I'm trying to sit and watch this all day.
Like, oh my gosh, 100%.
I'm just in bed and chill.
And again, like, we're coming from a place of, like, we're humans. We're not perfect. And hopefully that's why we can be relatable. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, like, our hope of, like, we're coming from areas of, like, stuff that we have gotten to learn over the past couple of years, I would say, since graduating, that we want to, like, spread that knowledge that I don't think a lot of people are able to get in day to day, because I feel like our society doesn't give us opportunities where we get to self-grow, we get to be better as a human and as a person. You know what I mean? And it's like, so often it's like, I feel like growing up, like, you know, you hear all these adults telling you what you should do, what you shouldn't do, yada yada. And not that there's not merit, obviously there is, because they know what they're doing.
Like, yeah, they know their experience, like, and what worked for them.
They've definitely experienced life. Obviously, that information is so valuable. But sometimes you also just, like, need a peer.
Yeah, like, for sure.
That
exactly.
is, like, going through very similar things.
Like, I see you. I know your experience. And
right. Because
you just are maybe more inclined to listen to a peer sometimes than people who are more far removed from the time that you're at right now.
Society, what it was, I mean, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, I mean, 15 years ago, isn't what it is now. I mean, things change so quickly with, like, social media and all the things that come with that. You know what I mean? So it's like, as things are ever changing, we want to kind of get to be a part of that conversation and that process and just, like, adapt and kind of figure out what that looks like for all of us. You know what I mean? Okay. Love it.
Yeah. So one of the, or the main topic that we wanted to cover today was building courage. And I kind of wanted to share more about my life and have Anna here share a story about her building courage as well. And just about how we've come to this point and have developed the mindset that we have, and hopefully can inspire anyone watching to take that leap of faith and have the courage to do the hard thing that maybe they're really yearning for or desiring, but just for whatever reason, we're being held back, and that's okay. But just hopefully, like, this could be a little nudge in that direction, if that's something that you're looking to do. I will say for me, my journey of building courage definitely started right after I graduated college. You know, when you first graduate, you have that existential dread of, like, okay, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Like, is my career lining up? Because for me personally, things weren't really lining up the way I would have liked them to. Little tidbit, I went to school for fashion merchandising, and the goal was to become a fashion stylist. I was like, oh, right out of college, I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to be doing all the big things.
Oh, my God, you said, I know what I'm going to do. And then it happens, and you're like, frick, what do I do?
And then graduation time rolled around. I'm just like, okay, don't have any job offers.
Oh, my God, it's real. You're like, oh, don't know how I'm like gonna get this to bubble I lived in. What's going on? Why is this changing all of a sudden?
I need to financially sustain myself.
Yeah.
How am I going to sustain? I don't know.
That's important.
For sure.
I need to eat. I need a roof over my head.
Exactly.
How do I do that?
Exactly. And I was really dead set on styling. I'm like, I'm going to do this. But nothing was coming my way. And I'm just like, well, since nothing's coming my way, I'm going to forward to my own opportunity. And so I decided to go into business for myself. That was kind of how I thought I would get there, and kind of was like the secret sauce, because I also really value my free time and being able to work the hours that I want to work. So I'm just like, entrepreneurship is the way for me, because I want to have control over that. I'm just such a control freak, which is something that I didn't realize how much of a control freak I was until, like, the beginning of this year. And I had to come to acceptance. I'm just like,
this is
me. We like to control things. This is real. This is me.
I won't sing on here because that will be sad for everybody. So I'll let Garrett really take the lead on that one.
I only sung 5 seconds. Please. All right.
No, it was good. Oh, God. That would be devastating.
I know, right?
No,
right? Like, please, on the first video.
They won't come do that on, to us. Yeah. Like, it'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Right, exactly.
Just a little blurbs. We'll be okay.
None of that happened. Anyway. So I wanted to go down that path. And I did a lot of self-discovering, and I observed a lot of habits that I had at the moment and realized that things weren't lining up with the type of behaviors that I needed to exhibit in order to be that type of person who right. can have a business and yeah. sustain things and put in consistent effort, be disciplined yeah. as well as very driven. I definitely had yeah. the drive, but that yeah. structure, that consistency, that discipline was like,
yeah, it's a little bit of everything. And I would say, I think in college, we don't get a lot of that. I mean, I don't want to say like college is easy. Obviously, it comes with its challenges. But in terms of like typically like course load, there's always like, you know, a couple hard classes, you know what I mean? And things that you want to work hard at. But like, I don't think college, I mean, maybe this is a personal experience, so you guys can definitely disagree with me.
Right,
but
we're all different.
But for me, like college did not do a good job of preparing me for the real world of the real life. You know what I mean? Just the way the schedules and classes are laid out, that is just not realistic.
No,
you know what
definitely
I mean? Like,
not.
I mean, I would have 2-3 classes a day, like, and I would be there for 50 minutes, maybe an hour and 15. And I mean, what is that? That's like almost none of your day. Do you know what I mean? And it's like the real, in real life, when you're obviously have this big long to-do list, and if you're, especially if you're driving and you're an entrepreneur, which obviously that is your field, your realm of expertise. But even for me, I'm a chiropractor, so with what I do with my job, like I don't have a flexibility of like working from home, you know, like not that. And again, and when you're working from, obviously I get you're still working, but it is definitely a different energy and mindset when it's like I do have to get up early every morning. Like I have to physically get dressed, look nice. And I mean, oh my gosh, college, what do you mean? I rolled out of bed.
Right, literally.
I looked like a ragamuffin.
Class at 8 a.m. Yeah. You
wake
got
up at 7:50.
You were like,
you said, oh, I'm back. You're
like, right, yeah. let me fix my hair real quick. Let me brush my teeth and run the class.
Right. And just with what I do, like I obviously want to like portray like confidence. Like I know what I'm doing, especially like as a chiropractor, like you get your doctorate in chiropractic. And so I wanted to portray like obviously someone who's confident that knows what they're doing. And, mm-hmm. you know, people are going to look at me as a doctor and they're going to be like, who is this
girl? Doctor.
Who is this girl? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Because we take care of, you know, adults, you know, and like, I mean, we take care of like 75-year-old men. And then I walk in the room and they're like, who is this little girl talking to me?
Like, is she going to be able to crack my back?
Yeah, they're like,
I don't
what
know.
Is happening right here? So
I was thinking of like a linebacker. Yeah. I don't know about her.
Yeah, you think, I mean, you probably think of like this like tall guy that like is jacked, like, you know, focuses on his health. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's not what chiropractic is about. Like, we won't get into that because I could talk about that forever and ever. Right. That's not what today's about. But it's like, it is definitely just a different learning experience of like how to like carry and portray myself in the work environment, in the workforce as a professional. I mean, who taught me to do that? Nobody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Where did I learn these things? Like, I'm not sure.
Like, I'm so fortunate where like both of my parents worked in corporate. You know what I mean? So like they definitely like instilled certain things in me as a kid of like, you know, when you're in a work environment, like my mom, you know, she worked in STEM. So she worked in a predominantly like male industry. You know what I mean? Like when she started working at the company, she's retired now, but I mean, she was like, I was really the only woman, the only female there. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, when you are the only woman, the reality is like, you really have to step it up. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
And
just...
obviously, I'm not a woman, but I know that could be a very.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not, really.
Oh,
I'm not.
Oh my God, I have no idea.
I thought you guys, I could have fooled
oh my God,
you.
I'm
all.
Shocked.
I know, but I'm not. But I feel like for anyone being in a space where they're the other and there's a majority of people who they see themselves in and can have a reflection to look at, I know just from having that experience, because I've been in spaces like that in my life, it is, it's just a big adjustment. And you might not fully realize your self-identity, because it's like everybody else has this specific identity that they portray. So it's like you have to adapt to that in order to fit into that space. And it might not be totally true to you. It could be, but it could be out of place. And it can actually make you look internally and can be a path to discovery or self-discovery when maybe you haven't been forced to do so before. Because I know personally, I was in Greek life in college and kind of being in an environment where I feel like I didn't really fit in, just being the only queer person in there. It just was very, it was like weird having very dominating, macho, masculine energy around, where I felt like I was trying to act and force things, but it wasn't very true to who I was. So I understand how that could be a thing for people, for sure.
No, I mean, that's like just a very specific environment where I think when you say Greek life, everyone immediately gets a picture, an image, or a kind of person in your head. Mm. And it's, I mean, typically it's just from movies that we've remembered.
Yeah, for sure,
seeing,
for sure.
You know,
that's
what
the
I
only
mean?
Frame of reference.
Yeah, you see, yeah, you think of those movies where you're like, oh my God,
yeah,
Greek life is crazy.
That's totally right. Representative.
And obviously,
life.
At some schools, it is. Like, I mean, if you go to a big school, like, it definitely can be more like what you see in movies. Mm. But also, like, for some schools, like, I went to like a smaller school, I would say, in Greek life. I was in Greek life, but it was I hate saying it wasn't real. Like, it was real.
It was fake news.
But it was, like, not what you saw in movies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It was, like...
No, mine definitely wasn't.
I mean,
either.
Our chapter was, 80 to 90 girls, which, like, mm. I mean, I think in a lot of, like, bigger schools, like, Greek life sororities can be, like, up to 300 people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it can be, like, this very... You get this sort of picture in your head, and I will say at least my Greek life experience was definitely nothing like that. Mm. And I joined Greek life, and I mean, you can definitely speak on your experience, but like I joined because I went, so I'm from Texas originally, mm-hmm. and I went to college in North Carolina, and I was like, I just want a new state. I want to live somewhere different. Like, I want to try something new. I was like, college is a perfect opportunity. It's not like you're tied in to like living there, but I was like, why not? What is the reason not? Mm-hmm. And but since I obviously went out of state, I knew nobody. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the people I went to college with, like, so many people like knew people that you were going to college with, so a lot of people kept like maybe not like your best closest friends, right, but at mm-hmm. least a lot of people did have like acquaintances.
Yeah.
And I will say, leaving state with, I will say, Texas is a very specific culture. I grew up in Dallas, where it's like what you would think, you know what I mean? Yeah. And going to North Carolina is such a different culture and such a different experience, even within, obviously, the U.S. Mm. But I was just like, I definitely had like my first meltdown. You know what I mean? When I went state, like moved states, and I was like, you know, I was like, did I make the right decision? Like, oh my God, I moved somewhere totally new. I don't know anyone here. Like, I don't have any of my family. Like, what the frick did I just do? Like, so I did. Yeah.
Right,
so I called like my best friend, shout out Bailey, still my best friend. She lives in New York now. Shout out Bailey. But she basically talked to me off the ledge, where I was like, I think I should transfer. Like, she went to, I would say, she went to UT. So like a very like big, you know, like Texas school, where I was like, my best friend would be there. Like, I think I should just transfer.
Yeah, and it would be,
you know, and
courage to take that leap of faith and do
truly,
something different.
That's what it was. And I will say, thankfully for her, she was like, you've talked about North Carolina forever since we were kids. Like, when I was growing up, like, we traveled to, like, my mom is from Virginia, so we, and like, right on the border, and so we did a lot of family vacations in North Carolina. She's like, you loved North Carolina. She's like, you've always talked about how you wanted to go to college there. She's like, you've been there for, and this was 2 weeks in, so like, let me really relax. But you know, you have that, you're 18, you have
that crisis.
No, that's
always how it happens. The first couple weeks, you freak out, and then once you get settled in, it's like, it's not bad.
Yeah,
I'll get through it. I just needed a Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry, okay?
But it's like, you just need a snack, you're fine. You'll be okay. But it's, that experience where I was like, oh my God, I'm moving to a new state, a new city, and I don't know anybody. Like, what the hell have I done? Like, who did I think I was? You know, and it's not like, I wouldn't say I was the most outgoing person in the world. I wouldn't say I was shy, but I definitely wasn't going to.
Like, wasn't I really?
Yeah, I was. I am not the person that's going to go like just talk to a stranger and be like, we could be friends, you know?
Yeah,
like
that is
just not in my DNA, in my or whatever. Not DNA.
Not
but
my genetic makeup.
Yeah, I was like, that's not genetic. That's a personal choice. But it's just not my natural affinity where I gravitate towards being that outspoken and outgoing person. And I will say, like, I am so glad I stayed. It was definitely like the best decision for me, but it was definitely that moment where I was like, I just need to be a big girl. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I am so thankful that I really, you know, did join Greek life, ironically, because it really did introduce me to a lot of the friends that I really have held on to. And I would say I'm fortunate with what I did. I cheered through college, and I would say not that I was, again, not the coolest cheerleader ever, but I did cheer through college.
I did. That was on the resume.
Yeah, exactly. But it was on the resume. But that's where I met, like, my people. And it's like having that faith and belief of, like, you don't just meet someone and you become best friends. Like, I mean, luckily with my best friend, she just looked at me and she's like, we're going to be best friends. And
yeah,
I said,
I'm like,
but my brain was like, thank God.
Right.
But the reality is that doesn't happen. So I was like, I can't have one friend. That's not how life works. Right. Even though I was like,
we
I love
duality.
Her. Right. She's obviously still
we
my best
diversity,
friend.
Need diversity, babe.
She's still my best friend to this day. Yeah. Right. But it was like, give it time. Give yourself grace. Yeah. Give yourself patience. Because I will say the first couple of weeks of school, like, I mean, I feel like the biggest loser. Mm-hmm. And I will say hopefully other people can relate to that and hopefully felt the same way if they had that experience. But it's like when you first start school, like, there are a lot of people that are super outgoing. They're so easy to talk to. And I think that's awesome. But as someone who that's like is not my natural personality. I mean, obviously, you guys will feel I can talk forever.
Right.
But it's like, am I going to go up
to... Once she gets settled in when she's comfortable, she's that girl, that
exactly.
outgoing girl.
But it's like, I'm not going to go up to a stranger and then just like tell them all about myself and my life.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it takes time to kind of like open up. So it's like, you need to have that like, that faith, but that courage of like, just hold on a little bit longer. You know what I mean? It's like, just because you haven't made friends in the first 2 weeks, it's okay. Like, that's
sure.
not normal. Like,
exactly.
And I will say, a lot of the friends I made in the first week, the first month, I did not end up staying friends with those people. Not that they weren't bad people. It was just like,
it's just
not everyone
more
is
than
your
likely
fit.
The first set of people that you talk to, they just are your primer. They are the warm up. They get you being social.
Yeah.
Get you comfortable talking and socializing with people, even if they're not necessarily a match. It's just like, okay, like, I'm cool with y'all and you guys are getting me out of my shell, and then maybe if I migrate and actually find my people later, that's fine. But sometimes, like, that's what people are placed in life for. I definitely resonate with you on not being the most socially expressive person and putting yourself out there as much, because I definitely was a lot more shy. You know, I grew up with social anxiety, and it really got bad like in middle school, because I went through a pretty tumultuous time just socially with other kids at school, and it was really rough, and it made me scared of people and not wanting to talk to people. So it was like, all right, let me hide in the corner.
You're gonna build up walls. You know what I mean?
And college definitely opened me up and made me a lot more social, and I was able to take that into the latter part of my life, which is being now post-college, and it really helped me on my journey. Like, I started to post videos on Instagram just promoting myself and trying to figure out what services I wanted to put out there as a stylist and still figuring my stuff out. And I also made a website and just, like, did all the things to see how I could put myself out there. But I had a really difficult time figuring out what to brand myself as properly, because when you are offering a service-based business, there's a lot more to figure out on how to promote what it is you're doing versus selling a product. So it taught me a lot about offering services, and also it allowed me to be more social, just starting to experiment on camera, get a feel for my personality more.
Right.
And even now with what I've done most recently with consulting, I worked for a perfume brand and also worked at a retail store, like a smaller pop-up shop where I had to bring in clientele and style them. So it really forced me to be social and be more creative with connecting with people, resonating with them, and appealing to their ideals. And then just being more lively. And because you're really selling yourself along with your services. Like, people need to trust you
100%
with their intimate affairs and with style and fashion. Like, I know that could be a very intimate thing for a lot of women, especially just with body image and all the things. So being able to resonate with them in that sense and let them know that they can trust me and that I also am a good listener and can actually take what it is that they tell me and apply it to what they want. Like, it's a lot of strategic placing and figuring things out, but I had to implement a lot of courage in that sense because, you know, I was doing things that I wasn't used to doing before. Yeah. Like, I've never been as social. You know? I never had to connect with people so intimately and just be so personable and doing things that required me to have such a personality and really get to the crux of what someone's ideals are and what things mean to them. It requires you to prime them and to get to know them and ask the right questions. And those weren't skills that I had built up very strongly.
Right.
Having that anxiety and letting that hinder me, I always just stay to myself, more so being able to open up.
Yeah.
And
that's powerful. Like, just really strong.
Do such a 180 and then have a front-facing job where I am so social. Right. Like, that took so much courage, for sure.
I mean, gone through like a more like stressful or like, you know, just crappy and annoying like junior high, like, or middle school like experience and high school experience. Like, I feel like a lot of people that are gay experience, or like, even if you don't come out in high school, you know, like, you're hiding a piece of that identity, but being able to like then flip the script, like really do a 180, said, like, that's huge. You know what I mean? And that's hard to do when you've had negative and bad
such
experience.
Negative reinforcement.
I mean,
too,
it's so easy. Like, the easy thing would be to be like, well, you know what? I'm just going to like keep to myself, mind my own business, because that's the easiest way, like, not to put yourself in like a negative or
put
bad
experience.
Put yourself
in a line of fire.
Yeah, 100%. Because when you are more out there, when you are more social and you're in like the service industry like that, like, obviously you get to kind of find the clients that you wanted to work with, but like, not everybody's nice is the reality of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, that can also be a scary place to put yourself in, to be like, I'm opening myself up back up to the world again. Mm. And then hopefully people will perceive me. And like, I mean, God, what year is it? So hopefully, like, we've grown.
Hopefully
it will continue to get better, because I'd say, I mean, it's still not great, honestly. But hopefully it's like one of those things we always continue to grow and get better right down the road. But I mean, that really is so impressive to like make that change and make that switch, because that is hard to like put yourself out there in that sort of experience. One of the things like in our office that like we always say that even though we're chiropractors, we are service based, because with chiropractors, it's obviously like elective. Like, it's not like you're going to the dentist for your yearly or however often you're supposed to, whatever. It's not like, I would say, the traditional medical model, right? So we would say, in terms of what we do, like, a lot of people, I mean, you could go to any chiropractor, you know what I mean? So one of the things in our office that they have really gotten to teach me, which I'm so thankful for, is that what we do really is service based. And as a provider, like, I want to be the best that I can be at what I do. You know what I mean? So it's obviously a different kind of service than you would traditionally think in like in terms of retail or something like that. But it's like, we talk about that all the time, of like, your perception of how someone perceives you, I mean, does make a big difference of if people like want to stay in our office. And one of the things we obviously focus on is health, as you can imagine. But it's like, the way we view it is like, well, they're like, if we're really not in our office, we focus on more like holistic lifestyles and holistic health. And that's something that we, is my passion. Like, that's something I think is so valuable, because on our traditional medical model, it's just like, it's not great. I think everyone knows that. We all know like Americans are unhealthy, right? Yeah. Like, that's like not necessarily like certain, like, we take like the most medications out of anyone. and like, and we make up 5% of the world's population, which is crazy to think about. So the reason like being it like service is so important to us, because we know if people leave our office, like the stuff that they get exposed to in their day-to-day lifestyle is, I mean, so unhealthy and leads, I mean, I hate being dramatic, and it's, I don't think it's dramatic, but it leads to premature death. You know what I mean?
For sure.
The more medications we're on, the less like lifestyle, like habits that we get to work on health-wise, like, I mean, we die sooner is the reality of it if we don't take care of ourselves. You know what I mean?
No, literally so many diseases manifest from us having stress and not having a sound mind.
Oh, no, that I would say the root cause of all disease is stress. And that's something they talk about so much where we go in at least chiropractic school, hopefully in all any medical school that you go to. But like, stress causes a lot of like inflammatory pathways in your body. The root cause of all disease is inflammation. So if you're constantly stressed out, you have elevated inflammation constantly in your body, and that can trigger like a cascade of so many different health effects, whether for some people that's cancer, high blood pressure, headaches, I mean, anything under the sun, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where service is so important to us, because we know if somebody leaves our office and they're not getting like, hopefully like a little bit of like a health paradigm shift where like they're released back into the world and like they see where, oh, you've got a headache, you should take this medication, or it's this or it's that, like, you know, you've got low back pain, you probably need surgery. And I'm like, oh my God, there's so many other options before you do that step. So it's, that's something that we really value. And I think almost any, in any field, you can justify service as a piece of what you do, even if it's like with your coworkers, even if I think even if you're in corporate, obviously there's a lot of individual work that typically happens in those types of offices. But I mean, even if you work in something like finance, you are, I mean, you're handling people's money. Like,
yeah,
that
for sure.
That is service.
And that is very intimate to people.
Yeah,
they feel very
exactly.
strongly about that. And a lot of your identity could be wrapped up in money, which we could do a whole topic about money.
Let's not dive into that one today.
But we have such strong emotional attachments to money and all have our own relationships with money based on how we were brought up and our economic status and what people around us view themselves as based on that economic status. Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely very personal and something to be very mindful of when you're serving people in that way.
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, just one of those things that like, you know, when I graduated from chiropractic school, like, they teach you the science, right? Like, I could sit here all day and talk about why, ironically, your posture is so important. So don't look at my posture if you're watching. But why your posture, like, you know.
Y'all,
stuff
don't
that,
worry about it. We stretch, okay?
Yeah.
We do other things.
We do all the things. But, like, all the things that are important. But the reality is when we graduate, like, I could sit here and talk, I mean, for hours about how cool your nervous system is, how important your spine, yada, yada, yada. I know you guys don't want to hear that. But at the end of the day, what I've learned the most is people don't give a flying rat's ass about that stuff. Mm. Like, what people want to know is how, like, what you do, like, is going to help them long term.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, like, a huge piece of, like, that mindset. Like, in school, they don't teach you how to be a chiropractor. Like, of course, they teach me the science, how to do it safely, the right techniques to use, when to do this. But they don't teach me how to, like, they never taught me how to talk to someone.
Yeah,
how to
explain
something. Like, I was fortunate where my clinic
School needs to have social classes.
Right.
And
it does, like,
interpersonal relationships, managing those.
Right. It's like, you
literally the main thing that gets you through life. And it's something that
no one teaches it to you.
Aren't emphasized to practice.
And so it's like that moment of when you graduate and then you enter into the real world. And then you're like, oh my God, I have to like help people understand why this is so important. Like, and appeal to their wants and their needs, because the reality is no one's going to care unless they understand how this is going to benefit
them,
which is a normal human response. You know what I mean? I'm not faulting anybody for that. Like, that's what I mean. That's what I would do. Like,
exactly.
I'd be like, if you want me to do something, tell me like how. Like, I mean, obviously, I like the science because that's where my brain gravitates towards. But that's because that's what I am excited about. But
right.
I'm not going to do something like, I think about like cold plunging. This is such a dumb example, but like in college, like after practice, we would recover and they'd be like, you should really get in the, you know, the ice bath. And I would be like, like, no, maybe I'm never going to do that. I'm like, you want me to actively be uncomfortable? And I hate cold. So, like, yeah. I'm, like, again, I'm from Texas. Not so sure. I'm grown up in a very hot, warm. We're not used to that. Yeah.
The scalding sun. Right. And what so, is cold? We don't even know what that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So I never did it. And of course, now that, you know, ice baths, all that is so popular. Like, I feel like a very big trend in the health world. Mm-hmm. And now I love it because I understand how it benefits me. Like, before they were like, you should ice bath, it'll help with recovery. And that was like the blanket statement. I'm like, cool. You know, not a good enough reason
Thank you, Buster.
For me to really sit in an ice bath. But now that I understand it, I really know all the benefits of it. Now I'm like, oh, heck yeah. Like, now I'm excited about it. But it's one of those things where you have to like understand and learn that process. And at that time, I was just not open to perceiving it. And I feel like that's something that you learn so much. But like, you know, after you graduate, you want to be like open to those experiences and like, like you said, put yourself out there. Have that courage to be like, okay, you know what? Like, just because I haven't done this before doesn't mean that I shouldn't. Doesn't mean that I can't. Like, there's so much more that we get to learn and we get to experience. And I mean, I am 2 years out of chiropractic school. And I would say I've learned more in the past 2 years, I would say, quote, as an adult, right?
As an adult.
That I did. I would say in the first, like, 25 years of my life. You know what I mean? Which is crazy to really say, but I do think it's about that mindset that I feel like you talked about earlier. Like, you have to have a positive mindset because I will say, even in our office, the amount of people that we meet, like I was just talking with a patient about this the other day. It was so amazing. Like, she's been in her office for a couple months now, but I got to really sit down with her and talk about, you know, how she felt. She was like, I'll be honest, she's like, when I first started, she was like, I was so not open to any of this. And we were just, I was like, and which you could tell, like by her demeanor when she came in, she was just like, this is not for me.
Right.
And I mean, seeing her now, I mean, she's done like a 180. Like, she's totally changed her mindset around like what her health could be like, and even like her mindset. So she's a teacher and she had a really tough class that prior year, and her class this year is so much better, which definitely helped. But she's like, but I've learned so much. She's like, a lot of what we talk about in our office is like mindset stuff.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I've been able to learn. She's like, I get to choose how I feel about those situations. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like,
enema.
Like, that's, I feel like the first time someone said that to me, like, it was so powerful.
Yeah.
And we listened to a book. I'm so thankful for my office and my work, which I will understand. I'm definitely privileged to say that.
No, for
sure. I don't think a lot of people have that experience at work, but we listen to like books in our office and we discuss them with trainings that we just have and some of the meetings we have. And we listen to a book, and the premise of the book is going to sound really dramatic, was like, you're not special. So that sounds...
You're not.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Which sounds crazy.
Babes, you are...
You're not special. I'm just kidding. That's not my big takeaway. But the premise of what it talked about is, and I, so just bear with me while I try to explain it. I'm not going to explain it as well as this author did, but they basically were like, the experiences you're going through are not unique. You, not to say that they're not hard, not to say that they don't suck, and not to say that's not frustrating. It's probably all of those things and then a bag of chips, right? Yeah. But it's what you're going through, someone else has also gone through. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, there's some crazy dramatic experiences where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
But a lot of our day-to-day stuff, like, you know, a flat tire or the battery in your car died or like your coworker just pissed you off, whatever it is. Like, those are experiences that every human goes through. You know what I mean? And we can perceive that in a couple ways. One is you're the victim, right? Mm. Or the other mindset is you can be like, okay, you know what? This does suck.
Yeah.
But think switching it of like, okay, this isn't happening to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, certain things obviously can be malicious or they can be bad. But typically a lot of those kind of day-to-day struggles, like, it's not necessarily so deep where it's like, don't let that derail or impact your entire day. Does it suck? For sure. It's okay to like say those things, but essentially like not dwelling on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many like healthy ways that we can cope with like stress or the negative things that happen, because again, they do happen, right? Yeah. But again, it's like, you're not special. Like, those, not really. I do think everybody is special. But that was one of the things that when I listened, they were like, you're not special. And I was like, oh, They're really coming after me. I'm really hurt right now.
I'm attacked.
Right. But it is, you can just change that mindset. Like changing of like, okay, you know what? It does suck, but it's not happening to me. No one's actively trying to hurt me or put me down or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. Which obviously there are scenarios where those things can and do happen. But it's like when it's those little things, like choose how you get to choose how you feel about that situation. Do you know what I mean? The part of your brain that controls anxiety is the same part that controls gratitude. So when we are really stressed, overwhelmed, or like, I'm feeling super anxious.
Right now.
Now you know. But having like a gratitude practice can be so powerful to change that mindset. And if you can say like three things out loud, which I know is hard.
Right.
It feels
actually
weird.
Talk, look I know. In the mirror.
And I get it. Like, it's weird. The first time I did it, I was like, I feel
right.
Weird. Like, so I typically do it in the car. That's my time.
Yeah.
Or you can do it in the bathroom. If you look at yourself in the mirror, that's super powerful as well. But if you can say like pause and like say three things you're grateful for, I guarantee that is totally going to change your mood.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it really is.
It really is. So I want you guys to really to try it.
Yes.
I know it.
Just try it out,
I know
y'all.
It sounds crazy, but like even if something bad, annoying happens, like just take that pause, like give that its space, being like, you know what? This does suck. It's not ideal. It's not how I wanted my day to go. But like pause and think about like the things you're grateful for, you know, like if you are having car trouble, be thankful that you have a car to even have trouble with. Do you know what I mean? Think about how privileged so many of us are to live in this space where like certain things might be harder. It's like, even if you're having trouble at work, like, you know what? I'm thankful that I have a freaking job.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm so thankful for everything in life.
Exactly. Like, even if it's not your dream job or if it's not what you want to be doing, like, be thankful that that job is still serving a purpose where you are at that point. And that doesn't have to be your forever. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like you get that the most.
I understand. One thing I want to add on to that too, just with, you know, us expressing gratitude for being here, being a helpful tool. Also, I just want to give anyone who is watching or listening their props, because human beings, we are a lot more courageous than we give ourselves credit for. One thing that I always say is that having the ability to wake up in the morning and get through our day with all of the things that we identify with ourselves based on things that society projects onto us and our self-image and also physical things that could come and run amok in our lives, like your car breaking down or something else happening health-wise. Being able to get through the day and make it to the end and go to bed at night is such a courageous thing and something to be so grateful for. So I just want to give everybody their shout out for that, because I know for me personally, I have my moments where it can be very hard, even though I do like to think I have developed a fairly sound mind and I have acquired a lot of tools that have helped me manage my emotions and stay at an even kilter. I definitely have moments where I'm just like, fuck, like, this is difficult right now. I haven't experienced this before. I haven't had to work through these emotions.
Right.
This is difficult. I do not want to go to this auto shop to get this thing repaired. Uh-huh. I do not want to take the time out of my day to go to the DMV. Like, I'm just not having any of it. But it's important to realize that no matter how far down the spiral that we go, we haven't gone down too far to the point of no return, because, you know, we're all still here.
Right.
We haven't kicked the can yet, if you are listening or watching. And like, obviously,
we're still here.
Yeah, like, so, we're here and we're surviving.
Right. Like, so celebrate those little wins.
Exactly.
You know?
And we are just here to continue to thrive. And even when you are in a Category 5 tornado and, you know, you've been sucked up and your house is spins around and around and sent off over the stratosphere, over the rainbow and touched down in Oz, you know, you still, there's this magical force that, you know, yanks us by the collar and says, no, not today. You know, I think it's that forever optimism and faith that we have that our situations will improve, and that is valid, because nothing lasts forever. no tough situation that we go through lasts forever. No emotion that we have is permanent, because right. they're fleeting. Meant to come, yeah. flow through us, and be released. So even if you might feel a certain emotion very consistently, it's not something that stays with you at all times. And you are capable of feeling so many different things at so many different moments. So I just want to shout out everybody for having that capacity and to let you know that I admire you because you are great. And also, it's another thing you said, like every day that we are here, every waking moment that we have the ability to have that awareness to look at our lives and decide, is this working for us? Is this behavior that I'm partaking in serving me? And right. you can make the decision on doing things that are continuing you on the path that you're on now or shifting. Mm-hmm. And let's say you decide that things that you're doing right now aren't working for you, and you're just like, baby, I gotta switch some things up because this ain't it right now. That is also courageous, being able to realize that you're in a simulation yeah. and to intend that's on
all the simulation.
Right, we are all NPCs. Nothing is real.
Oh my gosh.
But setting those intentions to rewrite the code.
Right.
And one thing that has helped me in my journey of courage, because, you know, we could sit here and talk about how we've built courage and magically come to these points, but one thing that has right. really helped me personally is just recognizing times where I've had courage in the past and using that as a catalyst to exhibit courage in the future. Because
I love that.
We
can
awesome. Have these narratives that we aren't capable and aren't worthy, and oh, this person has all these things. But something that a lot of people may be more aware of now, but if you kind of have a fictitious story that you tell yourself, you could just think that people pop out of nowhere with these things and this accomplishment and places that they end up in life, but you don't see the journey that it took for them to get there. And right. it is a very extensive journey that took a lot of faith and courage. And they have to start from somewhere. And
yeah.
what the end product that you're looking at is not the starting point. So even if you've done small things that may seem insignificant, they are things, and they are something that is tangible for you to look at and be like, this is something that I did. And if I'm able to do this, I can do something on a similar scale
yeah.
and just take one step in front of the other and continue to go from that yeah. point, and you will build and build and build. And, you yeah. know, slow and steady wins the race. And you might be taking those small steps at first, and you might not realize how significant they are. But as you know, look over a year's time span, you'll be very shocked and impressed with where you can end up from mm-hmm. continuing to take those small steps. And as you build that within you and you have garnered that trust with yourself, you are more likely to be able to take risks and to, you know, jump off that ledge and swim with the sharks, even though it might be scary. Exactly. We don't want to do that. But you've garnered the toolkit to be able to do that, so you know when you do take that leap that you'll be okay, because you've seen yourself get through tough situations. You've seen yourself pick up new skills that you never thought that you would have picked up. Like, I would have never thought that I would be doing this right now, having this whole setup that we have right here.
Crazy.
And even putting myself out there and communicating messages to people like this, you know, I never was the most passionate speaker for such a long time. And I, you know, we all go through that journey of what is our purpose in life and what do we feel like we need to contribute to this world. And, you know, I feel like my service that I can provide is in many sectors, but one of the sectors is just giving inspiration to people and sharing my testimony and seeing that you can come from a very low point in life and rise to a new plane that you never would have thought that you would have been able to do. And it's just about doing those consistent actions, learning yourself more, building that trust with yourself. And another thing that is also really valuable is learning the type of learner you are, because I feel like we have, going back to the conversation about schooling and kind of what we learn in school, there's a specific curriculum that is taught in a specific way, and not everybody learns the same way. And, you know, sometimes when you might not be doing the best in school and either some sort of disciplinary action is taken, or, you know, there's conversations around, oh, your child might not be doing the best and we don't know what we're going to do with them. It's maybe because the way things are being taught doesn't resonate with them. Like, I know for me, I'm an emotional learner, so I like for things to be presented to me in a way that just has some sort of impact and can either make me laugh, cry, just feel some sense of joy, or just like communicate somebody else's experience and allow me to feel their experience. So I'm also a very visual learner. Like, I like charts, pictures, film, things being portrayed through film and real life examples. So that way I can see those things given to me. And even if I am taking in knowledge that might be more very matter of fact and, you know, present it with a lot of statistics and data and be like, the empirical research says da 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 da. Like, even though that information can be a little bit more challenging for me to consume, because when there's no character, it can be a snooze fest at times. But I am eventually able to get the information down once I go through my own process and, you know, kind of figure out, okay, this is what I need to do in order to actually process the information and have it stick up here and articulate it in my own way to where it makes sense for me to be saying it. So learning your learning style is also a very useful tool that can help you in your process of growth and self-discovery and taking those steps in order to do the things that you need to do. And once you have gained that confidence and trust in yourself, you know, there's evidence there for you to look at, and it's like, okay, here's the receipt, here are the Carfax, and I can't deny it. And when
Carfax,
you have, yeah,
so I have my own, like, Carfax now,
show me the Carfax. But when you have those things to look at and you know things for a certainty, you have confidence in those things. And confidence is a lot easier to wield and express once you have certainty. Yeah. So just learning to build that trust with yourself and having certainty is something that I feel like is a key factor in building courage and building confidence in any given scenario.
Yeah, I feel like one of the things you said that I feel like is so important to emphasize is, like, use yourself as an example. Mm-hmm. It's so easy in today's day and age to, like, compare yourself to anybody, everybody, like, because it's going to look like everybody has their life together. And the reality is, most people don't. But one of the things you said that I loved is, like, reflecting on, like, the things you have done and have already done that, like, you're like, I did that. You said that's
exactly
pretty awesome.
He did that. Like, he surely did.
I mean, really though, like, find, like, that confidence and that, like, courage within yourself, because, like, you can do hard things. We all can, because we've all done them before. So it's like, have, like, that reflection moment of, like, I can do this. Which, again, I totally get it. Like, it's easier for us to sit here and say that.
Yeah, of course, for sure.
I know sometimes when you're in the thick of it, you're like, what the heck? Like, it's hard to kind of get out of that mental mindset and mode. And I get it. I mean, I've been in that rut more times than I'd probably like to admit. But if you can just, like, take that pause of, like, okay, yeah, I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way, pause. But then, like, hype yourself up for a second.
Right.
Be like,
I really did
that.
You know
what? Like, these are some of the awesome accomplishments that I have done, or some of the hard things where I've had to, like, really put myself out of my comfort zone, put myself back out there. And, like, I have been really strong and really courageous before. And having faith that even though what you might be going through is hard, like, you can't, like, The universe is not going to throw something at you that you can't handle. You know what I mean? And like, it's one of the things I think we grow up with as anyone that played sports, like it's either like you win or you lose. And I think that is really not how life is. It's either you win or you learn. You know what I mean? Like a loss, don't think about it as a loss. Think about that as like a learning experience. Cause if
Alpha learn.
Really? That's what it is. Cause if you're like, think about anything you've gone through. Like you don't learn as much when you're winning. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you definitely are still going to learn, but like when things are going well, you don't have to self-reflect. You're like, I feel good. You have that high, whatever it is. But if you lose, like, obviously that's a crappy feeling. It sucks. Mm. But like, take that moment of like, okay, that didn't go the way that I wanted. Like, what can I learn from that experience? That way, moving forward, I don't do that again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let's not go in that direction.
Or next time that I do this, it's at least better, even if it's not perfect. Because, I mean, I definitely have a more like perfectionist mindset. I'm definitely like a rule follower. I like to do things a certain
way. All right, let's
have
the structure here.
Yeah.
It helps me out. Again, spiral.
I was like, definitely keeps me saying it sometimes, but like, you've got to just let go of some of that. If you strive for perfection, I mean, you're going to drive yourself insane. You can't do that, you know?
And ultimately, it's going to be so much harder to get anything done.
Yeah. It's like you have to fall in love with the process.
Yeah.
Because even with whatever, quote, success is not a destination. It's a process. And the reality is you're never going to arrive at that destination. You know what I mean? So it's like with whatever you do or whatever your passion is, you have to fall in love with whatever that process looks like. You have to actually enjoy it. Because if not, it's going to suck. You know what I mean? Like if you're not enjoying the process to like get better and get stronger. And I mean, it's not daisies and roses. It's going to be hard at times, but like, if you don't have your purpose and your why behind what you're trying to do, and again, for everyone, that looks totally different. So for some people, you can find your purpose in your job and your career, but for a lot of people, that's not the case. And I totally get that. So whatever you're like, find what that purpose is for you. It doesn't have to be like this huge grand thing, but something that you like find that value in. And for some people, that's like, let's say, you know, you work in corporate and that's not necessarily like you're doing that because you're like, okay, I get my paycheck. That helps me live and support my finances the way that I want. That's awesome. For a lot of people, I get that's not going to be your purpose. And for some people, it might. So that's not a bad thing either. But if your purpose isn't necessarily like in your career or in what your job might be, like find that purpose with like who you are as a person. I think when we grow up, we put these titles on ourselves of like, you know, like either I'm the athlete or I'm the pretty one, I'm the whatever, like those things that are intangible. But as
when you take those things away,
who are you? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's what we need to like strip down. And it's uncomfortable. That's not fun.
Because
a lot
of people can't answer that question. Like if you were to say who you were without mentioning your job title, who you are in relation to others.
Yeah, like the activities you do. You know what I mean?
Like, what would your answer be? And I feel like that is really hard for a lot of people to say. And while we're sitting here talking all that jibber jabber, I feel like I can go ahead and answer that question for myself. I feel like I am someone who is very in tune with their senses, who listens to their intuition, and who can step out on faith, who has a very great capacity for empathy and understanding other people's struggles, and who, you know, just loves to challenge myself mentally and constantly grow and evolve, and who has ample love to give and to share with others.
But I think that's where you, like, if you're having trouble finding courage or finding like what that next step or what that next phase is, strip it down to that. You know what I mean? Strip it down to the bare bones, not like the society norms, like the things that we think, you know, quote unquote, are important, right? Because we put so much value on intangible things that are we made up. Like strip it down to what you just talked about, like who you are, and that is going to guide you. You know what I mean? Because the next thing that you choose to do, it needs to be congruous with that person that you just talked about. Do you know what I mean? And for everybody. So if you can like follow that path of like, that's congruent with my purpose, with my why, like who I am to my core, the things that I really value, that is where your courage is going to like start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you said it the best.
And that was so beautiful.
Thanks.
And that is a good place to stop right now.
So
because
that's it.
We've been talking y'all ears off for a while. And I hope that you all got so much value out of this episode. I know I did.
Same. I
feel
better.
Learning
I feel happier already.
From you, learning more about you and your story.
You're so sweet.
I'm just so excited to keep riding on this train and seeing where this takes us.
Yeah. So stay tuned. I was going to say, Garrett is on top of it. He's already got layouts for the next multiple weeks. But if there's something that if you guys are listening and that you want to hear, you want us to talk about, like, we want to know that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're the reason we're doing this. It's
exactly.
Like, we want to have that community of like-minded people. So if there's something that's important to you guys, like, we want to hear it. So,
yeah. And with that, I will say, make sure that if you are listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that you rate us 5 stars, hopefully, if you enjoyed this, and also share
subscribe.
With all your friends. Yes, because that is what helps this grow. And if you are watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and share. Share it up.
Yeah,
because
give us a review about how beautiful we are.
Exactly.
how amazing we are.
Yes. So thank you for joining me today and everyone. And I am so happy, full, and I cannot wait until the next episode. All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.